You know, we have long depended upon Hebrews chapter 11 for the strengthening our understanding of the matter of faith. And it literally can be an adventure in itself to roam through its narrative and be reminded of those characters of Bible history and all that they went through as they sought to do God's will. Men like Abraham and Noah and Abel and Enoch, and women like Sarah and Rahab and a host of others, many even unnamed, though significant in what they underwent because of their faith and their faithfulness to the will of God. You know, it seems almost backward that the greatest illustrations of faith should come from so far back in the story of the history of man's relationship with God. Is it perhaps a tribute to the stubbornness and the, in many cases, the failures of humanity that we have not become stronger and greater and mightier? Rather than that, though, we consider those as the great heroes of faith back there in Hebrews 11. And most of those characters lived during what we would call probably the first half of the Old Testament story. Perhaps we can't show a greater faith than they did, but we can surely learn from and benefit from their great example, understanding clearly that we live in relatively easier times today in many aspects. There are some things that we're confronted with that they would have never believed. And yet, by and large, I'm afraid that when all is said and done, in so many ways, we are dealing with easier times, at least in so far as our relationship with God. Suffice it to say that we are without excuse in our Christian lives today. This is going to be very simple. I want to share with you five things from this great chapter that will help us to understand better the nature of true faith. Number one, faith is rational. There's a growing movement afoot today that says that you cannot be intelligent unless you are anti-religious. People of faith today, people like you and me, are characterized as being backward, old-fashioned, or even ignorant. We're looked down upon. We're kind of made fun of from time to time by those who consider themselves to be the most educated and the most intelligent, the most well-trained and so forth. In actuality, those who hate God would like to see all of us abandon our faith. And thus, they've sought to make us appear to be second-rate or inferior so far as intelligence goes. I'm here to tell you that faith is rational. In fact, logic and faith are close companions. Hopefully you've got your Bible open up to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice verse 3 with me, which says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Now, I'll be the first to admit that there's a lot there in that passage, in that statement, you know, that identifies the things that we don't really know. But there's a lot there that points to the fact that faith is rational. It is by faith that we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You say, I don't see how that could be. Well, I don't either. I understand it and I believe it because God said that it's true. And the fact that you can take an adventure back through the science of Christian evidences and the evidences of God and the origin of this universe, and science itself will reveal things to you that validify, that validate, maybe that's the word I should have used, that back up the Bible story that this universe was created from nothing. It was spoken into existence by God. There can be no other explanation when we consider all of the evidence that is available. You say, evidence? I thought we had to believe this by faith. If you have understood that rational thought, conclusions based on the examination of evidence and sensible reason are all enemies of Bible faith, then you've been misled. Because evidence is a tremendously important thing when it comes to faith. Over in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul condemned those of his day who had rejected the idea of God just out of hand. And Paul says they have rejected God because they refuse to look at the evidence. And therefore the conclusion is they have no faith in God. They have refused to see the evidence that is all around them. In fact, he says, in their failure to perceive, the word that's translated into English, perceive, is a word in the original language which refers to a very analytical type view. In other words, examining and analyzing something. Paul says they've refused to do that. They have rejected God. The end result is they have no faith in God because they have refused to look at the evidence that would build their faith. Faith is rational. Number two, faith depends upon revelation. I would explain it like this. Faith is a response. A person could never have faith toward God if he or she had never had any communication or any information about God. From our discussion this morning, and from what is said here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we understand that in order to please God, we must first believe that God exists. Now, with that in mind, I want you to imagine this conversation. Hey, Paul, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Paul, let me tell you something. You really need to believe in God. You need to have faith in God. Paul says, oh, really? Well, who's God? I say, well, I don't know. You know, he's just God. Paul says, well, what about him? Tell me a little bit about him. Tell me something of him. What's he said? What's he done? Well, I don't know. You know, he's just God. You need to believe in him. Well, give me something that I can believe in. Give me something. Give me some information. You see, faith is a response to revelation of information. If the information is not revealed to us, we can't have faith. That's why I say that faith is a response. There has to be a revelation of information. Who is he? What's he done? What does he want me to do? And all of that before I can have faith in God. Faith is a response to revelation. It depends upon revelation. Notice verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark to the saving of his household. What did Noah do by faith? He constructed an ark. Why did he construct that ark? Because God revealed to him some information concerning something that was going to happen, something God was going to do. As a response to the information that God gave Noah concerning what was coming, by faith, Noah built the ark. Humor my imagination again for just a second. Suppose Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 begins by telling about how wicked and sinful mankind had become. And let's suppose that it still says in there that but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But let's suppose the next part where God has the conversation with Noah, where God tells Noah what he's about to do, and where God tells Noah what he wants him to do, and he tells him how to build the ark, how big, and so forth, and what to do with it. Let's say that that part never happened. And let's say that one day it starts raining. Cats and dogs, lizards, snakes, and orangutans, and elephants, and everything, you know. And let's say after about 10 days of rain, Noah looks up to God and he says, Lord, what's happening? And God says, you're supposed to have built that ark. What's an ark? I'm going to destroy the world by flood. Why didn't you tell me? What can I do? You see what kind of situation Noah would be in. The story of Noah and the ark makes perfect sense because God told Noah what was coming, but it also makes perfect sense because Noah had the faith in God to respond to what God told him. Faith depends upon revelation. You know why some people have difficulty with a weak faith? It's because they refuse to expose themselves to the revelation of information in God's Word. Because, you remember, faith comes of hearing of the Word of God. Now that brings us to our next point, number 3, because faith involves trusting our Maker. Though faith is rational, as we said there in number 1, and it can be the result of analytical reasoning based on evidence presented, there is also an aspect of faith that keeps us going when we can't see very far ahead. That part of faith, that aspect of faith involves trusting our Maker. You see, this warning that Noah got from God had to do with something Noah had never seen before. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning events as yet unseen, I don't know how many of you remember that little skit that Bill Cosby did years and years ago. I looked it up the other day. It was more than 20 years ago, I think, where he depicted a convert. And it was, it was kind of borderline irreverent, but it made a good point at the same time. But it depicted the conversation between God and Noah. You know what Noah could have said? He said, I never heard of anything like that before. What do you mean a flood? What's a flood? Is that what you said? Flood? What's a flood? Noah didn't say that. Even though Noah had never seen or never heard tell of anything like what God said was about to come, he didn't ask. Warned of things unheard of, by faith, in reverent fear, he built that ark. Why? Because his faith trusted his Maker. Same thing for Abraham in verse 8 there of Hebrews 11. He left Chaldea not knowing where he was going. No idea where he was going, what was waiting for him when he got there? Or, listen to this, have you ever thought about this? He had no idea what the remainder of his life was going to be like. You know, I might be willing to load up and move 1,200 miles away into a place that I'd never even heard of, much less been to, if I had some assurance that I could come back home. Abraham not only didn't know where he was going, he didn't know what was waiting for him when he got there, and he had no concept of what the rest of his life, however long it was going to be, would involve. Like Noah. He was told to do something based on the idea that there was a big unknown out in front of him. Obviously, trusting God's plan when we can't see very far ahead is a vital component of true faith. Number four, faith is an action word. Now, we covered this pretty good this morning, I think. A lot of good, quote-unquote, religious folks seem to have the notion that faith is merely a mental conviction, a decision, a process of thought. As we noted this morning, at least 18 times in this chapter, God's servants are described as doing something by their faith. Abel offered. Enoch pleased God. Noah prepared an ark. Abraham obeyed. And on it goes. We always describe Hebrews 11 as the great chapter on faith, don't we? Is it not just as much so the great chapter on obedience? Isn't it the great chapter on works? Because that's what works are. Actions of obedience. Faith is an action word. One more and we'll be through. Number five. Faith discriminates. Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to discriminate. Discriminates means to examine the two and choose one over the other. That's literally what it means. And when it comes time to discriminate certain things, faith is the greatest tool that you could ever use. Look down at verse 26. Actually, let's begin in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses discriminated. He chose spiritual over material. He chose eternal over temporal. Why? Because of his faith. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of God. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Moses chose, by faith, heavenly riches over the treasures of Egypt. Paul gives us this instruction in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, same thing. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. How? By faith. by faith. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Faith discriminates. Those choices are easy when you decide by faith. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.